This is the 1UP Network. Welcome to 1UP Yours on a last show before, what do we have it down here as? Launch Apocalypse.
It goes Launchageddon.
Which goes along with our Launchageddon feature. We're just like, we're Launch-a-rama everything.
Is Launch Apocalypse what happens after the Launchageddon?
It doesn't say Launch Apocalypse. It says Launchocalypse.
It does say Launchocalypse.
See how much better that sounds? Launch Apocalypse. That's just like two words together. Launchocalypse.
Wow.
Mr. Luke Smith there, and we do have the usual four here, Fantastic Four, Luke, John, Shane groaning under the weight of...
He's very, very tired.
Shane's groaning because his limbs are tired from playing Zelda.
All this having to play games for the last couple of weeks has really worn us out.
And we do have lots of games on the show today. We're going to do this sort of a format like we did last week, where in the second segment we're going to focus mostly on games, and Zelda in particular, get into more about the Wii, some Launch Madness stuff, and in the third segment we'll do a news, and it really is focused on everything around the launch of two major consoles you can imagine. Maybe a little 360 and Xbox stuff on the side as well, right?
A little sprinkle, dollop.
Little dollop.
Is it going to be a sprinkle or a dollop? Come on, guys.
I think it's going to be a dollop because it's a little wet and syrupy.
Okay.
There you go.
Good. I'm glad we cleared that up.
So, I'd ask what you've been playing, but I know that we're going to have Viva Pinata from at least two of the folks around
the table.
Yeah,
I don't need to hear about that again.
Yeah, I think you do.
Oh, God.
Well, so...
Talk, John. Viva.
How does your garden grow?
It grows very well. I've played this game more than Gears of War now.
You know why
I'm playing
it more?
And I'm comfortable saying that.
Because it's better.
Are you closing on a goal? Is there a goal? Is there an end game?
Not really.
I had hoped to be playing it by now. What's up, Robert?
Jesus.
It's like The Sims. So you're leveling up and you're building the garden and affecting the environment and everything, and it just keeps going.
Do you hit a plateau?
I'd heard that there was a plateau, because when you look at the achievements, they stop rewarding you after level 50. But apparently they just keep going pretty much indefinitely.
Oh.
But it's very good. But people are slowly coming out and starting to acknowledge that.
Yeah, the reviews I'm seeing are really high.
Okay. Yeah. But there's this sort of grudging, like, I'm a little ashamed of liking it.
No one says it like, I'm playing Viva Pinata.
I am. I'll do that. I'm playing Viva Pinata, and I love it.
Okay, so look, a lot of this is like breeding pianas, right?
What? Breeding bananas?
Breeding pinatas.
About 73% through his first beer.
A lot of the game is breeding pinatas.
Some of the game is breeding pinatas.
Okay, so about the breeding part, does it feel like you're just merely hitting squares inside like a grid where they had it all laid out and it's all predetermined? Or do you actually feel like you're... Oh, so you do?
No. I mean, the back end of the game is... there is like a big database that is building as you're bringing things in, and it's telling you the conditions under which the creatures that you've attracted into the garden, there are conditions for them to stay and take up residence in the garden, and then conditions for them to get horny, basically. And it starts off with the first creature you get, there needs to be a bunch of dirt and two of them, and you can make them shag. And then as long as you continue to have those conditions, you can have worms humping pretty much indefinitely.
It's a simulator for kids all over the world.
But then it gets more convoluted the more advanced the creature. So
indentured servitude, payoff, sex.
So, I mean, the game, you build up, you bring all these pinatas in, you're trying to attract more, you have to feed them to each other, so there's that element to it.
But is the core mechanic like altering the terrain to attract creatures? Is that basically the gameplay?
You're mostly affecting the environment, yeah.
Right. So there's no combat, really.
Not that you instigate. There's combat that happens, so there's things in the environment and relationships between creatures, there'll be tension and they'll kick off. So depending on how you want to manage the garden, you might want to like either remove the race completely, so there's a genocide aspect, or you can also...
Germans can get into that, so he's cool with that.
Oh, my God. Oh, hey, my God.
I can't believe you said that.
Wow. I saw it cresting your lips, and I was like, oh, God, no.
No, 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 it's coming. Oh, my God, he did it.
And there it was.
So there's the genocidal aspect of it. There's the sort of the concentration camp aspect to it. There's the forced sexual relationship aspect to it.
Perfect for children.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, but a lot of it is what you read into what you're doing. And the other thing is that you don't have to force creatures to breed, and you don't have to feed them to each other. And it's just the different circumstances under which things will happen. Also, I discovered while playing it at a higher level that things in the environment will affect the pinatas, causing them to morph. So there's just environmental stuff that makes them happy. There's also one of the creatures, if you set fire to it, it turns into another creature. Mm. And there are achievements related to morphing creatures and herding creatures. And, like, I mean, it just keeps going. And you so can take
there,
it...
Is it good because there's more depth than you expected? Is that kind of, like, the story here?
It's depth, but the real thing is the emotional connection. That was what blew me away. Because it really encourages you to go in and name them individually. And the start of the game is all about just trying to nurture everything. And then you hit a point where... it dawns on you that you can't nurture indefinitely. You have to start doing something distasteful or ugly or evil. And the degree to which you have to do that, you are actually flexing your sense of ethics a little bit. So it's like, well, I can either sell these guys or, well, I could feed them to these other guys and see what happens there. Or I could just, you know, kill them and take the candy or... And it just keeps doing this. And if you've been naming them all, you have this little connect. And, like, you know, there's been people around the office that have been playing it, and everyone gives their things stupid names. So Jared sent me this little squirrel creature that he'd called Squinky.
And what the hell?
Squinky was a bit of a troublemaker, though, and he didn't like the...
You described him, like, really dark.
He was. He was an evil little bastard. And, like, he's a squazzle, which is like it's like a squirrel-type thing. And they had these...
He's a squazzle!
I love listening to grown men
it sounds
talk
like he's
about this game.
So the squazzles...
Can you do Bill Cosby?
All of their
he's
environment...
He's a squazzle!
Where they were shagging quite regularly, so there was a lot of them, and they'd set up this little squazzle ghetto in the bottom of the garden, and were sort of sending these sorties out and beating up on these mouse mallows, which are these cute little mice that are bouncing around, and they were going out in waves, and it was like there was like a war going on in the garden where these two races just kept hitting off on each other.
Someone seceded from the union, and it was on.
Well, you know, all along, I've been a pretty jaded Viva Pinata cynic, and I think the amount of enthusiasm you guys have shown for the game in the last week, it's actually piqued my interest. And if you're still playing this game in a week or two, mm-hmm. I'll try it.
Okay.
Because I wonder if it has legs. Because it seems like the kind of game that could, maybe, actually, because of the online stuff, continue
to be... The next phase is... Because right now, the online stuff is just... I can take something from my garden, stick it in a box, and send it to you.
I can't visit your garden?
Not yet. No, that's not it. There was originally talk of you being able to play co-op together online.
Not enough.
But that was actually a misinterpretation of something that's one of the kid-friendly things, where if you have another pad... synced up, you can both play together. But all it's doing is it's just mapping the same controls, and you can kind of step in and override.
Interesting.
But that's
kind of clever, isn't it?
Yeah, they're talking about a lot of download content, new creatures, new plants, new environmental effects, and eventually new gameplay features as well.
That's what I was going to ask. So new mechanics.
Yeah.
Well, and with the good reviews and positive word of mouth, you know, this might actually sell better than Microsoft even expected. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Best rare game confirmed.
Oh, absolutely.
In a long time.
Best rare game since GoldenEye, definitely.
Wow.
Luke, have you been playing anything aside from Vivi you'd like to expound on?
I'm going to wait because I played Zelda last weekend.
Okay.
But this week has been so busy with running around with the launches and Halo stuff that I haven't played a whole lot else.
Fair enough.
Shane has been playing a lot.
Outside of Wii, which we're going to talk about in the next segment, I mean, I finished my reviews of some other games like Genji and Ridge Racer 7.
Genji.
So
what's that? That was
so what,
good.
So what
stuff?
Up with Genji?
Did you post your score for Genji yet?
Yeah, yes,
my,
he did.
I did the one-up review as well as FreeGM.
So what'd you give it?
I gave it a 6.
A 6. Yeah, you gave it a 6.
Yeah,
which is still a good score.
It's
which
good
means
score.
You liked it. Admittedly, it means you liked it and had a good time with it.
That my problems with it weren't things I could have.
Still a good
foreseen.
Score. A bit of a stretch, I think.
It's
right there in the
6.5 is good stuff.
That's right. Shane's reclaiming 6.5.
I did reclaim 6.5 for good, and that is what I gave Ridge Racer 7. I gave it a 6.5.
It's like
which
Ridge
puts
Racer
it right in there
6.5.
With Call of Duty 3.
You're right, and you know both of those games. I said before they're launchy, and they are the kinds of games that me, who often buys games systems at launch, does buy with this system. Like I bought Blue Stinger with my Dreamcast. I bought Bug from my Saturn. It's just, you know, when systems come out, there aren't that many games, and so a game that's a 6. You feel okay, well, I can play it. I can have fun with it. Am I going to come back to this game in a year? Do you even want to keep this game? Maybe not.
Shane Slim Pickens, Bettenhausen.
Yeah, Slim Pickens.
Even more so, though, did you ever try to convince anyone Blue Stinger was right up there with Resident Evil?
No, I didn't do that. But, you know, Cameo is another game. I gave Cameo a 6, and I feel kind of similarly about Cameo that I do about Genji. It's like, yeah, you know, it's not a bad game. You can play through it. The graphics are pretty... it's there and you're enjoying it, but ultimately it's not a great game.
And 6 months from now when you see it in the bargain bin, don't pick it up. Pick something else up for the new machine.
So, you mean, obviously for PS3, there's Resistance, and then there's just some other good multi-platform games like Tony Hawk or Call of Duty or whatever.
Need for Speed Carbon's okay. They actually ended up, having said that they weren't going to, I was playing it earlier, there's some six-axis stuff in Carbon. It's not much.
Cool. Not much.
But I don't know. I mean, this is not meant to sound sexist, but every girl I've ever seen play a racing game does the shaking the joypad in the direction to make the car go.
That's what the guy who was just playing Excite Truck in here was doing.
Yeah, but you're supposed to do it in that. But in Carbon, you steer, and if you sort of waggle the pad in the direction and sort of gesture around the corner, it steers just a little bit more.
Yeah.
So it's got girl controls.
Steering plus. Yeah. Jesus.
But ultimately,
steering plus.
That should be right there on the pack.
Yeah. Now with girl controls.
But ultimately, Genshin Ridge Racer feel kind of rushed. And they definitely didn't take advantage of the PS3 in the way I wanted them to.
Did you notice, like, one of the things, comments I've seen, did you notice missing Rumble, particularly in a game like Genji? Because it seems like the sort of game where you really normally get into that.
You know, I'm not a huge Rumble fan. I mean, if it's there, I enjoy it. And some games use it really well. But in this game, I didn't really miss it. But the six-axis control is kind of killed by the fact that you can do the same moves with the analog stick. And it's actually easier and faster to dart around the screen using that.
Yeah, for me, in action games like that, I was thinking about, that's a spot where I would really miss the, you know, the feel of laying a big heavy sword hit or having the guys attack you, and all the things that you can get is, you know, some more interactivity with the action through having the rumble effect.
It's going to take a while to get used to it.
Or maybe they could just settle, get that shit in there.
Garnet, what did you 6.5 this week?
I did not 6. I 8.5 Resistance.
I know. After
controversial.
Oh, controversial.
Controversially, I think, because when I 9'd Viva Pinata, there was a bit of discussion, and so it's half a point better than Resistance.
You know what?
You know what? Yes, it is.
I'll withhold comment on that, because one of the things that people ask me that's really legitimate is, would I have given Gears of War a 10? And I played a lot of Gears of War now online, and I played some single player, and I can tell you, no, there's no way I'd give it a 10. But that doesn't mean that Shu's 10 isn't a 10. I mean, to him, it's one game. To me, it's a different game. You know, like Gears, great fun online. We've been playing it a lot online, but until they get group matchmaking in there, Jesus Christ, I can't believe, like, well, we talked about it last week, but I can't believe Mark Rain with his myopia of, oh, people don't really like that, there's people who argue against it. Bullshit, Mark, come on.
I saw something totally non-Gears War related I can talk about. This week also, Final Fantasy V came out for the GBA, and Final Fantasy III came out for the DS, so it's like a Final Fantasy, you know.
You played both.
Cornucopia. I played and reviewed them both, and they're both good, and if you're a Final Fantasy fan, you'll probably want them both. But if you can only get one, I say actually get Final Fantasy V.
Oh, really? Because
I say five.
Jeremy says three.
See, I got three probably because of Jeremy's recommendation.
No, wait a minute. Which one? Which one is the DS?
Jeremy
one,
gave
which
you
is the GBA?
3.5
is the DS. 5
okay.
is GBA.
I apologize. Then Jeremy agrees with me.
Yeah, I mean, 3 has remade graphics, has touch screen control, it has some other cool things. But 5 is actually a better game. I mean, it's two games after, so it's more complicated and more diverse. But it's the secret best Final Fantasy ever that no one ever played, because it didn't come out here until
Tactics.
No. This is Final Fantasy V. It didn't come out here until PS1. Not a lot of people played it there. It's the most gameplay-rich Final Fantasy ever made. It has the most complex job system. It's super fast, super fun. Totally awesome game.
Jesus.
Yep. GBA game, it's good. It hasn't been one of those for a while.
Jill Dozer, right?
That's a good one.
That was a while ago. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I put Phantasy Star Unlimited or Universe. What's the U for?
Universe.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. I saw you playing that this week.
Oh, you're on PSU?
Yeah.
I'm getting back on it after I finish Zelda. So.
360 or PS2?
360.
360, cool.
Shane's 360 does work.
It does work.
Mm-hmm.
And as of today, the big download of new content that makes the game less of a beta comes out. So there you go.
Well, they just put in a lot of the content. They opened up another planet.
They're getting closer to delivering all the content they promised would be on day one, but not yet.
And it's funny because, you know, it's funny, I did, like, totally screw up the last name of it, but you don't ever think of these, you don't think of Phantasy Star as, like, PSO, PSU, it's like you just think of the acronym. So I'm just playing the offline so far, and the offline is set up like this anime television show. It's really funny, it's really old school design, it's, like, so not 360.
Because 360 design is shooters?
I mean, it feels really, really old school.
That's probably because Sega doesn't really know how to tell a story in a modern way.
Yeah.
I might interest you in Sonic the Hedgehog for the Xbox.
By the way, I read your review. Thanks.
I grabbed a copy because of your review, because I wanted to just see how bad it was.
I hope you have a lot of patience.
I don't have any patience at all.
I thought I got 9.5 somewhere.
It did get a 9.5 somewhere.
Play 9.5?
It did get a 9.5.
We'd like to welcome Mr. Halverson to the program.
He really likes platformers. So do I, surprisingly.
And you didn't like this one.
Yeah, it's... I mean,
I only played it for 5 minutes, but that's all you need.
I mean, it's not as god-awful bad as some people will tell you. Some here, people at the office who hate it a lot. But it's still as misguided.
You were the high score, right?
I was the high score.
With
5.5. But, yeah, it has, you know, flashes of brilliance in a moment. At times, you're like, wow, this is why Sonic was good. But that's all buried in a pile of crap and 30-second loading times and a story that is... like, so out of its mind ambitious. Like, these crazy long CG cutscenes about the princess and...
Sonic Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. It really wants to be Final Fantasy, and that's not what
Which
I
platform
want.
Did you play on?
360. The PS3 version is coming out, like, next year now.
Oh, but is it the same game, or are they changing it?
It is the same game. Hopefully they can fix a lot of the problems. Like the loading times are unfathomable. I mean,
they should be able to fix that with
it's
the
like
installer on PS3.
I mean, it's literally 30 seconds for every load. Yeah, it's bad.
It's like a trip to the restroom.
Well, and the funny thing is I was loading, so I went to go get a drink, and I came back, and Sonic, the level had started. It was the jungle level, and most of Sonic's levels, he gets a running start and kind of goes through some loops, you know. And this one, the controller had been set down, no one touching it for a good amount of time, and he was still running. I'd been hit, and I was nearing the first checkpoint, and I'd never touched the controller.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog for the Xbox 360. It plays, so you don't have to.
The good news is...
convenient.
That's in case you're still in the bathroom when the game's done low.
The good news is the Sonic game coming out for
or
Wii,
making a sandwich.
Sonic and the Secret Rings. I really like that game. I've played it a few times and it's really fun. So
good.
There's happy news on the horizon for Sonic.
For the three people who are still really into what that blue hedgehog's up to.
You know, the other game I had to play was I had to play Madden for PS3 over the weekend last weekend. God,
I walked in, I couldn't tell what version you were playing at all.
Yeah, until we put on the 360 version and it looked better. What the hell? How?
Well, there was the thing from Ridge Racer 6 and 7 with the Xbox 360, okay. PS3, like Destructoid linking to right. someone else comparison.
But I think it's easier to spot the differences there than in Madden, actually.
No, well, I don't know. The ones in Madden are really easy. I mean, even once you get it, you know, configured properly to display in high def, Ryan O'Donnell was sitting with me in the demo room while we're looking at this. He was looking at his face like, oh my God, I can't believe this looks so much better on 360. It was sick. Sick.
Well, because the Ridge Racer actually does look better on PS3 if you get in the right,
oh, okay.
right
okay.
circumstance.
Oh, okay, so that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the difference on Madden is amazing. I mean, like, the part that stands out the most to me is the lighting, man. The lighting effects, it's like, in PS3, it looks flat and plain, and then in 360, it's like, oh, they figured out how to use HDR.
Well, there's a rumor going around, I can't really substantiate this, but that some of the problems with the PS3 Madden may be addressed in some way.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, I can't really go into how, but...
Was it download?
Yeah, not really.
Not really. We'll see.
I'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Sorry,
listeners.
It would need substantial upgrade. I mean, right now, it noticeably does not look as good as the 360 version. Like...
Boy, that dude in the line today at the Metreon's going to be pissed. Last night, he's all about selling it. Today in line, he's like, dude, you know how much Madden is? And I was like, probably 60 or 70 bucks. I gotta give me some Madden.
Well, the mechanics still play the same, which is okay. I mean, it's an okay football
game. The grass texture looks a little different.
It looks a little muddier because the whole stadium and field and everything just doesn't look as clean and as crisp.
Yeah.
Even the 2D menus don't look as good.
So I was sat with Brian last night when he was playing Madden on the Wii.
Oh, Christ, I have to play that tonight.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute in the second segment, too.
Greg Ford was fucking with him and was saying, hey, there's all these, like, secret gestures that you can do with the Wii controller. And was getting him to try all this different stuff. And eventually, it looks like apparently you can make the guy run and like lift his legs up really high.
High stepping.
And so he tried all that, and then he basically told Greg to fuck off and was playing. And here is a problem with the Wii, I think, that we're going to keep coming back to, is he was playing and he scratched his nose. But he was playing with the nunchuck controller, and because he scratched his nose with the controller in his hand, he was in the middle of a play, and it completely messed up. Whoa. Because you are always connected to the game on a Wii.
Yeah, I've experienced that myself. I've been playing Zelda pretty hardcore, and I'm just, you know, it gets so into it, get used to controlling it, and then I'll go to like grab a drink or answer my phone, and I'm tethered to the nunchuck and the controller.
And you've got that wrist strap on because it tells you to do that, and you make sure to do it.
So then, like, I go to grab something, and I'm all tangled up and falling over, and yeah, it's kind of funny.
It's a comedy of errors.
It is.
Like when Greg Ford bowls. from what I remember. Right? That's EGM Live's
Greg
Ford.
They were playing that there's a practice mode in Wii Sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And where it keeps adding pins.
You get like 50 pins. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, he was sort of gesturing the ball movement so hard.
You obviously
hard.
Haven't seen me ball.
And
like,
he was kicking, he kicks his leg
I
up.
Kick my,
well, you do that too,
I
right?
My, yeah, it helps.
So he kicks one leg
it
up.
It helps.
He kicks one leg up so high that it pulled the other one up with it and he landed on his ass.
It's like the freaking bowling rockets.
Wow. Anybody else playing anything that isn't Wii?
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to spoil ours.
Any PC game, Garnet? You like the PC?
Man, you know what? Between the amount of work games that I've had been playing, no, I have not played. Yeah. Although I do have, and I can't talk about the one that I actually have played a little bit. So Vanguard Beta, and it's still NDA'd, and whenever they pull that,
NDA'ing MMOs is so
it's so
gen.
Retarded.
Is this a Korean game?
That's good. That's a word.
No, it's Brad McQuaid. It's the guy who built EverQuest, and he's building this brand new MMO. And as soon as they lift the NDA, we'll talk about it. Until then,
it's the one that was going to be published by Microsoft, but now
there's a whole great like drama behind it. Like Microsoft is going to publish it. And then it was like going to be first party or whatever, and then part of the Games for Windows initiative, and then it got too expensive. Microsoft shoveled it off, and Brad McQuaid ran back to the SOE.
There's been, you know what? There's
basically.
Been some debate about that, but something that I heard regarding that is that the Microsoft folks never got it because keep in mind they had gotten stung from the Asheron's Call series being
and
like
True Fantasy Online.
Well, and which they cleaned house right after Asheron's Call, and I think they looked at like McQuaid and his history with EverQuest and being really hardcore, and they said this guy's gonna make a super hardcore MMO, and there was a while they thought that was cool. They saw World of Warcraft. And they said, "Wow, shit, this isn't going to work. Well, let's get rid of it.
We need something for everyone.
That's right,
like a Halo MMO.
Maybe we should let the
yeah.
Anyway, what's going on our message boards? I have some message board stuff too. So I mean, we can bounce back and forth,
okay.
Or however you want to do.
So I know you wanted to talk about this, Garnet. There was a reasonably sized thread about the whole 1080i resistance thing.
Oh, yeah. If we go, so that really bit us. So that was what got us started on the whole Madden-looking bad thing, because the television that we have in the room I was playing is a 1080i LCD projector unit, right? So naturally, we set our PlayStation 3 in there to display 1080i. We're looking at this, and we're like, why the hell does this game look so horrible?
At 720p, it did not look as bad.
No. Because the Sony has a decent scaler, built into the engine, into the television. The stupid thing about the PS3 is that if you're playing a 720p game, which almost all of the games are, except for NBA Live 07 and Ridge Racer, not Live, but NBA 07, the 989 Studio one,
yeah.
Ridge Racer. What else is there? Any 1080p?
I heard Gundam 1080p, but I haven't really found that out.
Gundam looks shit.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I heard it's 1080p.
Anyway,
Gundam,
all these are the games
tons.
That are 720p. If your PS3 is not configured to output in 720p, in other words, if it's configured to 1080i, then you're actually going to get 480p because it doesn't have a scaler. Well, either it doesn't have a scaler or they're not using it. I've seen a bunch of threads. Oh, there's
a scaler.
This
conversation is so complicated and boring. You shouldn't
Stupid.
Have to think about this with a console.
But they're addressing it in the next BIOS update.
Are they?
That's what I hear.
I hope so.
God, I hope so. Because for right now, the bottom line is when you take your PS3 home, set it to display 720p, period.
Yeah. No, most people aren't taking their PS3s home.
They're
selling
it.
And selling it.
According to the guys in the line. Anyway, the next thing. Snoozle has a thread that he started speculating
on. Is that one of your pinatas?
Snoozle, yeah. Maybe. Maybe I'll name one of my pinatas Snoozle.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to name him after message board users.
Oh, you know, wow. That's awesome.
Hey, I'd like to welcome Riley to the program.
So Snoozle started.
I'm definitely naming one for Indy.
Speculating on, I kind of did what I did with my kids there. You said something, I stopped and then kept going again. Sorry. That was very parental,
wasn't
it? Is
it Garnet older than you?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be treated that way, though.
Expert in Halo 3. Shush.
Wow.
Don't eat with your mouth open.
Actually, it's...
So Xander thinks that the X button in Halo 3 is going to be a teabagging button.
I don't think that...
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to activate the teabag.
Blade of Keys speculates that Master Chief is going to turn into a wolf, which, of course, speculate that. So this thread is going to keep going and going and going and going. So
if Master Chief turns into a wolf, I'm done with the franchise. Halo Kami.
Oh, I'm just curious. How much would you pay to play the Halo 3 beta?
Let's talk about it later.
I'll go talk about that later.
I would let them pay me something, I'm sure.
What else the community got?
Woodrow posted the new Army of Two trailer, which is also on game videos right now. Have you all seen it?
I hear it's good. I have not seen it.
It is good, but something they've done is all of the strangely homoerotic stuff that was in it earlier has now been replaced with sort of whiny,
eat shit and die.
No, sort of whiny, bickering teenagers.
Oh, nice.
Stuff.
Oh, my God.
Kinda,
it's like My Chemical Romance. It's in Army of Two.
It's like
kind of,
emo angsty stuff.
Which kind of kicked off a, what the hell?
That's great. Brandon Sheffield is going to love it.
Well, I mean, in the same week, the Spider-Man 3 trailer, totally emo. Emo's pretty hot right now, Johnny.
Emo's hot, yeah.
A little out of the loop. He's a nice guy, you people.
I love that.
Jesus. Continue. Pray continue, John.
Which, I mean, I think a lot of people had high hopes for Army of Two, and now they don't because it's gone emo. And
it's
now,
okay to be gay, but not okay.
Now
to be
people
emo.
Are saying that
helps EA out a lot because they're big on the soundtrack. Now they know where to go for the music.
Exactly. So now everyone has higher expectations for Kane and Lynch somehow.
Wow.
It's a very not smart place, if
the conversation switched to Kane and Lynch.
Yes, it did.
Not so much.
Red Swirl started something. What do you think is the best title screen ever?
Mega Man 2.
Offering up Zone of the Enders as his. There was also Metroid 3, Final Fantasy 6, Metal Gear Solid, and Clay Fighter getting a lot of props.
I like Gunstar Heroes because you could play with the logo.
I actually like the Zelda 2 title screen also.
Oh, I like that one too.
Pretty memorable.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Mega Man 2. Those are
Nemo 83 started this interesting thread that about he's giving up on the Wii. Already giving up. Sorry,
what?
Done. He's giving up on the Wii.
Late. Hating the Wii is old.
No, you love the reason. He's
liking
giving up
the
Wii
is the new old.
Is the new hating the Wii.
Yeah.
He's giving up on the
it's
Wii.
He's being self-hating now.
Best reason ever. Because the control scheme can't
so
do first-person shooters. Because first-person shooters are really the target market for the Wii.
Well, the thing is, if you want good first-person shooters, just get Xbox.
What's really funny is that after that, he did actually make a point that was really pretty smart, which is he talks about how, hey, you know, when Nintendo was first talking about this machine, they were saying it's all about the games. But then when they bring you the machine, they show you all this extraffless stuff like Wii channels and weather.
Extraffless?
Extraneous?
I'd like
superfluous?
To...
Superfluous? What are you trying to say?
Can I have the patch for looking at that?
What the fuck word did you just make up?
They bring all this extraffless.
It's like it's extraneous and superfluous at the same time.
But they're fucking.
All right, I got some advice for you. Let me talk.
Yeah, that's the garnet pinata.
All right. What's this kid's name? Let me address this kid. So,
Nemo 83.
Nemo 83. So, yeah, Red Steel.
Garnet's crying.
Red Steel, Call of Duty 3. They might not really be the game you want for the Wii, but that doesn't mean the Wii isn't good for FPS controls.
Have you seen the awful Call of Duty 3 TV ad?
No.
For the Wii, with the guy popping up from behind his couch and holding the Wii controller and the nunchuck like it's a rifle?
That sounds really good.
Oh.
But the people who've reviewed these games say, even though the games aren't that great themselves, the control method is very sound. And then, like, in a good game, say Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, it'll be really good. So don't count the control scheme out just because the first few FPSs aren't what you want at launch.
Yeah, like the Killer 7 sequel will be good, right?
No.
It'll be extraffalous.
I mean, Captain Da also had, I guess it's Captain Da, I can't even hardly read my own writing
Captain
sometimes.
Da.
He's got this other thing about how apparently Miyamoto was quoted about the price of the Wii and originally designing it. They were talking about making a less expensive model. $100 Wii was like, or $100 console was what they were like originally targeting wanting
to do. I heard
they
were originally going to use the GBA technology and hope that we wouldn't notice that they were selling it the same.
So that was
GBA with a DVD player in 2007.
So the question he kicked off the thread with was, are they better or worse off because they added functionality on top of basically current-gen technology and made a more expensive current-gen platform?
I guess we'll know in about a year, right?
I mean, are they better off than had they made older technology? What's his question?
No, well, so they're basically at the same technology point as visually,
well,
maybe, around...
It's a brilliant money-making scheme for Nintendo that may very well pay off.
Do you think so?
Oh, yes.
Because that was his question. Or are they? Would they have been better off actually going at the $100 price point?
Well, I mean, had they been able to make... Well,
without the innovative controller,
unless they're making money on the hardware, then it isn't a good idea for them. So then that would not have been
They're making money on the hardware.
Yeah. At $100, they would have been losing money on the hardware, and that would have been a bad idea.
But they might not have been able to do the controller. But what if they had come in with a, like, you know, an evolution of current-gen sort of technology like GameCube Plus, but at a low price point?
They did.
Yeah.
Right? I just say the only difference is like a little bit more of something and Waggle.
Yeah.
It's already GameCube Plus, but there's no way that it was going to be priced cheaper because they don't have to.
This is you see now.
The console
you're
only
coming at it.
The console probably only costs realistically, according to some people that I've talked to, like $90 to make.
Yeah.
Like the console, like at $100 for the Wii, they're probably still going to profit.
I mean,
period.
Nintendo has priced themselves in a very good position. They're cheaper than everybody else. It's you know, from what I've been playing, it's worth buying. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to feel okay with what I bought, and they leave themselves $150 of wiggle room to lower this thing in the next few years. So. Good job, Nintendo.
Shane Indy was wondering, as a thread going about, whether history is repeating itself with Blu-ray like it did with PS2 and DVD. What do you think? Are people buying PS3s in Japan just for Blu-ray?
Not yet, I don't think.
So why the low attach rate?
Chinese people being paid to buy themselves on eBay.
See, that came up on the thread, but people were like, wait a minute. They've sold 88,000.
Yeah, I mean,
88,000 PS3s. There weren't that many people standing in line to resell them.
The Blu-ray movies are flying off the shelves. Well, maybe another reason is, well, you can download 7 demos without ever buying a game, so you can have fun with your PS3 without spending $60 on a game. So that could also be affecting the software.
Wait a minute, you'd buy a $600 machine just for demos?
Well, if you spend $6 on a machine,
you might not be able to buy five games,
but you can download 7 demos for free.
And some of them are pretty good.
Some
of them are pretty good.
So. Although no one in the line last night knew anything about MotorStorm because we asked.
Really?
If anyone was excited for MotorStorm. And people
what were people
like,
in the line excited for?
eBay. We'll talk about it in the second segment.
Okay.
It's a good point to like jump off. We'll take a break for a minute. And when we come back, we'll get into all sorts of stuff with Wii, a big part of a discussion about Zelda.
In a really extrapolous segment.
Bitch.
Fucker.
You're listening to 1UP Yours on the 1UP Radio Network.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of... EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.oneup.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the 1UP Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
All right, we're back and ready to talk some Zelda. I think that'd be a great place to start. We've talked about it for forever, and
well,
Shane,
no, that's not. Yeah,
what? No, go ahead.
That's not a great place to start. What was that word? Extrapolous, and that's not actually a word.
We looked it up, and the closest word out there is
extrafallacious,
which lots of head,
which is apparently
to receive many blowjobs.
What was it? Skip to insert something where it doesn't belong.
Yeah.
So fucking 5 minutes later, we're doing fucking linguistics.
To insert
this is great.
Something, that's like, isn't that what you're looking for in a girl?
Oh, God.
I think so.
So, Zelda. To go from having sex to having none.
I don't really want to talk to you about it, I don't think. I think you and I are very different minds about this game.
I think you might be surprised.
I think it might just infuriate me to talk to you about this game.
Well, I think that's what people would want. Be for the best.
So,
what was the first thing you said to me when you were playing it last Saturday?
Okay, Luke? It needs context to talk before I talk about the game. I've played about 7 hours of the game. I'm like through completed the first dungeon. So it's admittedly it's like scratching the surface.
Barely,
it totally is scratching the surface of the game. But like an hour in,
how many dungeons are there? 9, right?
Yeah,
there are 9. And I will say I am 19 hours in, and I'm at the third dungeon.
But Skip also said that I moved through the dungeons much faster than you did. And I was having full clears in my dungeon and having less problems. But I said to you, Garnet, I said, I hope Jeremy Parrish, who's our resident 6.5er.
Oh, I'm Luke Smith. Look how big my dick is.
Skip was telling me how big my dick was.
Extra fallacious.
Huh?
What were you saying about Jeremy Parrish?
I think they're all on the metric system or something.
And Jeremy Parrish, I said, who's doing our review, I said, I hope he has the balls to give this game the 7 it deserves.
Jesus.
Because
see, that's the kind of bullshit. When I hear that, I don't even want to talk to you.
Well, because early on, it was really frustrating, and Link's wearing like a smock like Oprah. He's got an ass like Oprah.
You and I are of very different minds about the beginning
the
of
tutorial,
the game.
We are.
The tutorial, I think the tutorial is very well crafted and very classic, and it's a little slow going, but it's holding your hand for a reason, and it does a very good job of teaching you the Wii controls.
See, I looked at it like, I saw all, you talk to the townspeople, and you know the web of how you have to solve everything, and then I was like, I just can't solve this shit fast. Like, I cannot get through this boring part fast enough. Let me get on my horse. Let me get my green costume.
That goat herding looked pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the goat herding's great.
Well, what's interesting about the game, and you haven't gotten there yet, is everything...
As you're one dungeon ahead of me.
And 12 hours of gameplay. The other thing about the game, every single thing in the game everything is there for a reason. And the design
the
of
goats?
This game, the goats are there for a reason. When it's teaching you to herd goats, it's teaching you that because later in the game, what you did while goat herding is something you do during combat.
See, it's great because I was watching him herd goats and it brought to mind that great, you know, action RPG Sudeki, which had goat herding in it also.
Yeah. So, yeah, like the thing that has impressed me the most about Zelda, there are many things. The control is one.
I actually, yeah, the controls, I like the left stick, like I talked about with you a little bit. The sword play isn't, it's not, it's still sort of imprecise, but the actual, like, the left stick, spinning the 360
combat's very fast, and you do feel as if you're in control, and it never, there's no point where I'd say I'd rather be doing this with a GameCube controller, ever.
Really?
In the game, ever.
Okay, so the big complaint, after E3 was the bow and arrow, right?
It's fixed.
So how does it work now?
You know, it just tweaked a little bit, and it's easier to control, and you can lock on. Yeah, and like that and the boomerang are the things that you aim a lot with the Wiimote.
How does the bow and arrow work now?
Does it work like the... Because I only played the very early stage, but you have like a catapult at the beginning, right?
You have a slingshot.
That, like that a slingshot thing?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So it works the same way. And like... Yeah, so if you just press the B button, you know, it brings up the cursor and you point it.
And you point it and aim it and he just does it for you,
right? And you can lock onto things with the Z trigger. Or if you just lock onto an enemy, then you automatically shoot them. So
yeah, you can do it like you're doing it. You would do it with a GameCube pad. You can totally do it.
But the bow and arrow works as well now?
Right.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's very easy to use. And
yeah, I'm not going to spoil the first boss, but you get the boomerang in the first dungeon. And you obviously, in classic fashion, you use the boomerang to kill the first boss. But the way they have you use the boomerang is totally good. Like, it's totally right. The way you use the boomerang on the first boss is really cool.
Like, further I get into the game, I'm constantly amazed by the pacing. It is the best paced game of all time. And I'm not kidding. You're never doing the same thing for You're never doing the same thing for more than, like, an hour at a time. And it's constantly surprising you. And everything you've seen in every screenshot, even people who are worried about spoilers, is from the first two dungeons of the game. So there are, like, you know, all these other things you've never seen, whole new gameplay things you've never seen, huge twists.
Like, so the whole like notion that it's 70 hours long, that's probably pretty reliable information.
I mean, yeah, we got an email from Jeremy, actually, who was like 39 or 40 hours in at the time, and he was like, that 70 hours thing, not bullshit.
And the most amazing thing is, like, I was talking to Greg Ford yesterday, and like, I've experienced so much in the 19 hours I've played that if the game ended at the end of the third dungeon,
you'd be fine.
It would be better than almost any game I've played in the last 5 years.
10.
Wow. So that,
and like, you know, I was thinking
about it. Holds true. We're predicting this is probably going to be one of the best reviewed games ever, right?
Yeah, and like, I was thinking about Shadow of the Colossus, and I gave that game an 8.5 and kept it from getting a gold award. Everybody else gave it 9s. And like, to compare this game to Shadow of the Colossus, it's like comparing... you can't even compare them. Like, it just shows you...
It's like comparing like Halo
Halo to, like...
Time Splitters.
the ambition, the artistry, the design, the intelligence, everything that went into this game is phenomenal, outstanding.
Well, here's the thing. There's no way right now for me to transfer my save file, because I don't want to do the first dungeon again. But on Sunday, Mark and I are getting up and going to the Target in Daly City, because I'm going to go get a Wii and Zelda and then transfer my file over when Jeremy comes back from seclusion. Because I want to pick it up and keep going. And Thanksgiving's next week, and I want to play Zelda.
I think the other thing that might surprise people is, like, I just started getting more of the plot stuff where I am now. And there's a lot of foreshadowing. And the way it's going, it seems like it's really not what you'd expect. The story is not what you'd expect. It's much darker. Like, much, much darker than I expected.
But it's called The Twilight Princess.
Yeah, but...
That's dark inherently.
It's
by being Twilight.
It's pretty good. Twilight. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, so that's Zelda. Does anyone need a tissue? Does anyone need a towel?
I might need to clean up after.
The
other thing is, since I've gotten Zelda, I've seriously not thought about PlayStation 3. I haven't thought about Xbox 360. I haven't even thought about DS. I wake up thinking about Zelda. I go to bed thinking about Zelda. It's all encompassing, all consuming.
She thinks she's pretty hot, huh?
She's pretty hot.
So, graphically, which admittedly, know, we
yeah.
okay, I'm,
okay,
I'm not...
Okay, so that is a part where we can talk about it. Like, the graphics...
Let me not look like an ass first, okay?
Right.
I'm not saying that it needs to look like a 360
or PS3
game. It doesn't
need to look like Gears of Princess.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I'm not saying that at all. But in the context of everything else you're playing, right, are you cool with it?
Yeah, I am cool. I mean, it does look like a GameCube game, but they do a lot of things with lighting and motion blur to make it look better than a GameCube game. But at the same time, the graphics are a little inconsistent. Some areas look really good, other ones don't. Some textures look good, some don't. And there are some problems. There are occasional bouts of slowdown, occasional
I have not seen
problems.
It on GameCube. Have you seen it on GameCube?
Not in a long time.
I prefer, just, and this is just personal preference, I think that the art style from Wind Waker will hold up better than the art style from Twilight Princess. No. I know that a lot of people want the Twilight Princess realistic Link, but I do think that Wind Waker...
My impression from watching you play it would be to agree with you, because when I look at that, I notice some of the parts of the art that looks good, the character design and some of the features inside the world, but then I see, like, the ground textures and that makes me think, why wouldn't you just do something that was more stylized?
There are parts that you guys haven't seen that look very Lord of the Rings, and, like,
cool.
It's very effective, and I think that's going to connect with a lot of people that didn't connect with the Wind Waker art style. But overall, the aesthetics are very good, and especially the Twilight Realm, when you're playing as the wolf, those sections are really interesting looking.
But that's different from what I'm talking about, which is that you liked Wind Waker, right?
And
you're
loved
saying
it.
Wind Waker is going to transfer well because the style was...
It's time. Wind Waker is timeless in the same way that you can pick up Zelda Link to the Past, and it's still, you're not bitching about the graphics. It's those cute sprites. It's that same sort of, you know, aesthetically, it's that same sort of, it's pure, and it will exist.
So, like, some of this, when I'm watching it, looks to me like it got caught in the middle ground of maybe starting to think, well, maybe we want to make it more realistic.
Well, it's like if you look at Ocarina now, and if you're going to sit across from me and tell me that Ocarina is pretty, I'm going to tell you that you're blind and you're, it's because it's not. And Twilight Princess is, to me, going to face that same conundrum at some point down the road. It might be facing it prematurely now because of what we're dealing with in next gen visuals like Ridge Racer 7.
I think, you know, as much as the textures might have problems and the technical problems, the aesthetics in this game, to me, are better than the aesthetics in a next gen game like Cameo, which I think is a valid comparison. I think this game actually looks better than Cameo. I think there are, like, if you show me, like, this dungeon in this game, this dungeon in Cameo, like, not just aesthetics, but actual graphics, Zelda looks better.
Wow. Because it's more complete stylistically?
Yeah, and they just do some really cool lighting and blur effects, and like, it just looks more real to them because of the art style, and... Yeah, it looks good enough.
Wii is not the console for Wii. Wii is not the console.
Well, right. And here's the thing. Like, this is the good. We're talking right now about the good about the Wii. I mean, the rest is the bad and the ugly, for the most part. You're a huge... You love Wii Sports.
Well, I like half of Wii Sports a lot.
Yeah, Wii Sports has some great parts, and it has some lousy parts.
But someone told me this week that it was free.
So that's an excuse for the boxing
sucking? No, it's not free. Are you kidding? It's $40. The system's $210 in Japan. Give me a break.
But another thing about Wii, just moving on from Zelda, is the Mii channel is the secret best thing about Wii. Like, since we've had our Wiis, we've made little Mii characters of everybody, and...
You have Jesus at your house, don't you?
I made Jesus.
And you have Christ.
A really awesome thing is when you start making all your friends and family members and celebrities or whoever as Mii's and putting them in your system, which can hold up to 100, then when you play these Wii Sports games, like... Everybody in your baseball team is someone you know, and everybody playing, and it kind of just adds this weird.
Do you have Greg Ford batting cleanup?
We have you're talking about how you just naming your pinatas
and you're catching.
Well, like, how about when you and all your friends are like in all these games, and like WarioWare is going to use them? And
see, this is something about this generation now that I think is really important. Yeah. Is that it's more than the next gen graphics and sound. It's all these ideas that they're bringing in.
I walked by Mark's office and there's like 12 people crowded around. What are they doing? They're making Miis. Everyone's laughing and smiling, and I'm
Mark,
like, wow.
Is obsessed.
And I'm like, this is new. And like, we had a reporter in from a local Fox affiliate, and she was filming about the Wii, and we made her Mii, and she was playing tennis, and like, she doesn't play games, but she was totally into it, and she was like enraptured by the idea of making your friends. And I'm like, that's like a really smart idea that Nintendo
I feel like as soon as she leaves the office, the novelty of all that wears off, and instead, you know, it's like, why don't we go to the bar and drink? I do. I don't think that... I mean, the novelty is necessarily going to stick there. God, Garnet. Thanks, Garnet. I like that I'm talking and you're showing me messages. Thanks.
So, yeah, I mean, in the last week...
Anything I can do to help you get derailed.
So, largely because of Zelda and Wii Sports, I've become, like, totally indoctrinated into the Wii world, and I love it, and I'm all excited to get mine. But the rest of launch is not as rosy. Well, that is true.
Well, I played Excitetruck last week.
Oh, God.
And Excitetruck is...
awful.
It's awful, but it's almost like I was almost having ironic fun because it was so.
You have ironic fun because the soundtrack is
the
like
soundtrack,
this,
and it's like
it's
this,
Guilty Gear
like,
Part 5.
You're like super tree run, super air, 5 stars.
Yeah, the soundtrack's incomprehensibly bad.
It's inhumanly bad. Like who made this game? But I think and listened to it and was like, this is finished sound. This. Like, cause someone, no, but I'm not fucking with you. There's someone sitting at Nintendo who's like, this is the music we need for
Dude,
this
they
game.
Did the,
like something's like, and it's like, what the,
there's
and
some
someone's
guy with
like,
a...
yes, that's the one.
So
that's the song.
So the game itself, I think it's you know, kind of dumb fun. It's kind of ugly.
We just watched a guy in here play it looking like a boob with his arms out. Like he was at 10 and 2 driving.
Okay, so let's be serious for a minute. A lot of times playing Wii games, if you're just observing as a casual observer, you do kind of look like a boob playing anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that dude's not getting laid later. By me or anyone else.
But it is kind of fun in a dumb way. But I'm not.
It is. It's kind of fun in a dumb way, like going to a fraternity party was fun. And you know what? At the end of going to a fraternity party, you're stoked that you're going home.
I kind of compared it.
Because if you're staying in a house with a bunch of dudes and fucking plastic cups spilled everywhere, swimming in pools of your own vomit, that's disgusting.
That's kind of like Excitruck.
That's Excitruck.
But the whole time I've been. I've been kind of
I don't like it, but I'm not getting the pools of vomit thing.
You haven't played it just enough.
I mean, Skip saying it's fun, and
it is dumb fun
in a 5.5 kind of way.
I didn't like it at all.
Really?
And I'm pretty picky about racing games.
Right.
I just
that's
felt
why you
the
review
whole,
all of them.
I mean, it's incredibly arcadey to the point of like absurdity almost.
Yeah,
and
it's really dumbed down.
The whole time I've been comparing it to Wave Race, and it's more of like a Wave Race Blue Storm than a Wave Race 64.
Yeah,
it's not like either of them. It's just not. It's just. It's like John said. It's just dumb and boring and superficial.
It's being well reviewed.
There's a lot of Wii
it's
games
got a 6.8.
Outside of Zelda, I think, where it's you play it for 5 minutes, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I mean, like, I don't really want to play it anymore, though.
We should talk about Wii Sports because we started in on that for a second. We kind of sidetracked
okay,
off
so
of it.
Bowling is
awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, bowling is really cool. You can even get the flick wrist.
Yeah,
you know,
so I had a lot of friends.
You said that bowling replaced for you on the 1UP Show this week. I hope it stays in. Bowling to you, like, replaced real bowling.
Well, it doesn't replace it, but it is the only reasonable facsimile of bowling ever. And over the weekend, I had a lot of friends over who hadn't played it. Everyone had a great time, wanted to keep playing. Everyone's getting into it.
And I love the way that it builds on that. The mode where it just keeps adding pins till you're like lobbing a ball at like 100 pins.
What's most amazing is like it really does kind of replicate your style of bowling. And how you throw the ball does matter. I mean, it's a little easier than real bowling. You get a lot more strikes, whatever. But it's fun. It's addictive. So I can imagine coming back to it. You know,
oh yeah,
it's so really fun if you're drunk. You can actually have a beer in one hand and bowl.
So Sunday night, we should all play bowling online together.
Oh wait, it's not online.
Oh wait.
Oh, and another bad news:
Nintendo made a new gen console and forgot.
Oh, that
online.
Must be like Resistance. You're supposed to play it together and have friends.
Yeah. Huh.
Remember, you don't want to play co-op together online. You only want to play it with other people, split screen.
Oh, darn it. You can't play online co-op in Resistance.
Nope.
Well, maybe the game's AI is too complicated. It's like the Halo 3 conundrum. I don't want co-op Halo 3 online because their AI should be better than that. The Gears AI, yeah, it's duck and cover. They're not that smart.
Rest of sports?
Baseball's good.
Yep.
Tennis is good. Nothing else is good.
The golf is terrible.
Terrible. Oh. Especially when the really good Super Swing Golf from Tecmo is coming out in December.
Yeah. You really like the Super
I really
swing
like
golf.
It.
Have you ever actually golfed?
Once, and okay, I got kind of drunk, and I just had more fun with the golf cart. But
I've actually golfed.
Wow,
and
you
I
know
really
who else does that? Girls.
Oh,
I've actually golfed, and I really liked it.
The swing
is really cool,
and it's weird as you watch people play it. Anyone that's played golf starts to. You can see something click in their brain. They're like, oh, I have to play it like I'm really playing
golf. My pinky and my finger were interlocked. I was in an interlocked grip on the Wii
controller.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen people, even though it doesn't actually require you to do a proper
Do you normally use an interlocked grip?
Yes, actually, I do. It's called the Varden grip, ass.
But the Wii Sports Golf is like
pass
too,
guard at the Vaseline.
It's too hard. It's too limited. It's not that fun. No.
So I'm supposed to interview Phil Harrison.
Would you like to rewrap my shaft?
Jesus.
Oh, dear. Double bag it.
And the boxing you mentioned, the boxing's kind of fun to
play. See, I watched Skip and Garnet play, and Skip kept trying to do a cross, no, and it just wasn't there.
It's just a speed contest. It's really all boxing. You can dodge and stuff. But it's kind of a good workout, but it's really not that.
It's not. I mean, it's not sex. This isn't a race to the finish. Let's get a real boxing game.
Sex is a race to the finish?
It's also a good workout.
You're married. Tell me about it.
What's the one I'm forgetting about? This is a sixth game.
Rayman's. Do we have that?
Oh, Rayman's pretty good.
You meant in sports.
Oh, I meant in sports, but yeah, there's a sixth contest.
Bowling, tennis, baseball,
fishing.
No,
there's just five.
Okay, there's just five. Never mind.
I'm glad we know what we're talking about. Excellent. There's a box right there.
Oh yeah, look at that.
So and tennis is cool, but the whole not being able to move your characters around on the screen, it's pretty shallow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty shallow.
But isn't that sort of how the Wii Sports games are in general? Like, if there was a fully featured bowling game that augmented some of the controls in bowling, and you could bowl with your friends online,
then
you have an experience that, you know, might be worth talking about.
You know what?
Might be worth
writing
home
for. In bowling, I think it works because it has everything that's in bowling. You aim, you put English on the ball. There's not that much more to bowling than that. But you see it fall apart in the other games where, like in golf, you have four clubs. There's a putter, a wedge, an iron, and a wood.
Baseball has no fielding, but I don't really miss it that much.
Right.
People
are going to take ideas from Wii Sports, and we're going to have publishers like, you know, Crave and D3 banging out like fully featured versions of games that are in Wii Sports. And when it's fully featured, it's not going to work. Because the beauty of Wii Sports is it is just waving your hand around to hit the ball, or it is just pitching and batting. Right.
Shane's example is perfect. It's the game that you throw on when you have a bunch of folks over to the house for the weekend.
And after 30 minutes, we're all exhausted. We've had as much fun, and then you move on. But I'm still going to pull it out in a week, and maybe still in 3 months. We'll see. But especially with non-gamers, like this Christmas morning, across America, families are going to get together and play bowling and have the most fun they are going to have all year.
And how many ERs will have Wii Sports-related injuries?
Well, how many Best Buys will be having televisions taken back with holes in them?
That's why you fix that wrist strap. It's very important.
Yeah, to remind you, wrist up.
It's important.
So that's one console. There's two launching this week.
Oh, yeah, the PlayStation 3.
Well, the PlayStation 3.
It's out right now. You might have waited in line to get one last night or gone to your local EB or GameStop.
Can you believe
you made the cut.
Or
if you were waiting in line at the Best Buy in my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky.
Been shot by BBs.
At the Best Buy I used to work at.
Shane Bettenhausen, ex-Best Buy employee.
You may have been shot in a BB gun drive-by last night.
Say it for me. Offer me a service plan. I want one.
I'm not offering you any service plans.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to have.
He services you for free, baby.
Jesus, Garnet.
Coincidence? That's my Best Buy. I don't know.
You don't think that the
Xbox
is coming for?
You think it's the Xbox sending you a message?
I think it could be.
It's not safe in Lexington, Shane.
Graw is
sold out everywhere.
I say BB's got to try harder than that, all right?
BB's at least a pellet gun guy.
Is Shane calling for an escalation in Lexington?
Violence has gone up in Lexington, Kentucky by 500%.
No, but there has been a lot of crazy shit at these lines. Like,
can you believe there are 750 people outside the PlayStation store in San Francisco right now?
They're getting 750
people. We went there on Wednesday night for the 1UP show, and it was ridiculous. Like, there were probably about 300 people in line at this point in the night, and they had created this weird culture of self-policing, and the five dudes at the front of the line, like, concepted this whole idea of getting there super early the day before, and they started the line, and then this dude that came after them, like, began to form a list. And so this list became this, like, weird Bible to these people, and this little Asian dude with this big, thick notebook and his thick glasses.
So is this how they were managing going to get food and going to the bathroom and things like that?
No,
because your place was on the list?
No, well, they were managing, like, who could stay in what line. This self-policing culture of, like, urbanity emerged where there were all these, like there was, like, little mini, like, not physical fights, but, like, harassing and, like, these big herds of people being like, you're not on the list. That dude's not on the list. And then just all this, you know, drama would ensue, and the 1UP show was there to sort of witness some of it.
Does Metreon and Sony have, like, people wandering around feeding these guys?
Because the event actually didn't start on Wednesday. It started Thursday morning. So today, all day, Sony was bringing out Starbucks, soda. Like when we were there this afternoon,
they did that for the
burritos.
PSP.
It's a pretty
well.
Choice launch, and they're having a new band, the Plus 44, the new Blink 182 spinoff that's playing. They're played there. It's pretty, it's a pretty cool event they're having. And in New York, they're having another one with Ludacris and some people. So it's cool these events they're doing. They're making it a big deal, and it appears to be a huge turnout, a lot of excitement. And as much as all the naysayers here at the office are like, "Well, all 750 people are there to eBay it." No, they're not.
Not all of them, but a substantial.
No.
How many of them have you talked to today?
I went past the line. I talked to maybe 10 guys. And, like, yeah, some of those people are going to sell their systems, but the majority of them are PlayStation fans, and you can tell they're excited about this.
I had a guy tell me last night, he was like, we got a big crew here to buy PS3s. He's like, we're selling a bunch of them, we're keeping one, and we're giving one to some poor people. And I was like, do they have a HDTV?
Maybe.
Otherwise it's going to look kind of assy. he hadn't got to that part. Today he was just really excited.
The whole eBaying thing, I mean, we've done a lot of press this week, like TV and radio spots. People have been coming in and asking for commentary. And the thing that it always comes back to is, like, you know, what is the big deal about PS3? And they always come back to the eBay thing. I mean, it's become a big part of the culture around a launch now. And even the 360, there wasn't this much press about that kind of activity, was there?
This is a potential cash cow. I mean, like, these people online are really looking at this like an opportunity to... One guy, one of yours listener, God, I hope I get your name right. His name's Arayu. He stopped us as we were walking by. And he was like, dude, I love the show. I love the Xbox 360. I love Gears of War. And that's what I'm here for. And I was like, you're in the PS3 line, dude. And he's like, I got to get me an HDTV and my wife's not going to let me. So I'm selling this to get one.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
But for any opportunistic eBay people, they have put some rules out. You have to be have at least 50 feedback.
Yeah.
No, you have to have 50 transactions. You have to have at least 97% positive feedback.
Uh-huh.
And
can't do buy it now, right?
And there's no buy it now auctions.
That's actually really good that eBay sort of did put these very strict... Like, I couldn't sell one. I don't have 50 transactions.
Sell one either,
I have my feedback's fine.
No, you can't create an account to be opportunistic.
I don't know that people in these lines know that.
But you can still sell it on Craigslist or maybe Amazon, Z-Shops. I don't know.
You'd probably get over a grand for it on Craigslist right now.
Yeah.
Well, we have some Craigslist stuff in news that's pretty amusing. And... I don't want to spoil that. Garnet, do we have any more of this segment?
We have as much as you want to go with.
I'm okay. We'll get ahead to news.
Shane, you got anything else you want to like?
I think that's it. I got to go.
Any other Nintendo shit you
want to evangelize? I wish I was playing Zelda right now.
So,
everybody buy Zelda.
Just to clarify something, Shane.
Yeah.
Launch day, PS3. You buying one?
Got one.
You do?
Got it.
How'd you manage that?
Can't talk about
Can't talk about it.
I got
60 gigger.
Lynch.
SCEA to the rescue. All right. So we do have a great set of launch news coming up in just a minute. So stick around and we'll be right back.
This week on GFW Radio, the GFW editors spend a lot of time talking about console games. And in one painful moment, Sean Elliott has a gas problem. You know you don't want to miss this episode. Check it out at gfwradio.oneup.com, podcasts.oneup.com, or the iTunes Music Store.
You're listening to One Up Yours, part of the One Up Radio Network.
And we're back ready to do some news. Unfortunately, Shane really was feeling the pressure of getting that EGM issue done, so he's left. But
he's
good news,
waggling upstairs.
He's waggling upstairs.
He's going to play Zelda really slowly.
Like, really? Like, 19 hours in and you're two dungeons in?
I think he's savoring every moment right now.
I like what you said. He's watching the text in real time.
Yeah, he's not skipping through the text. He's letting every nuance, every little detail wash over him.
I think he finished the tutorial and was like 10.
But you know what? They're
easing through the rest of the game. I'm not being funny, though.
Right.
No,
like, I think he decided. He's like, Link's in an Oprah smock, 10.
He's right about one thing. He's not being funny.
He's not being funny now.
There's good news to this, though. We got to bring in our all-star off the bench, which is Mark McDonald.
Always all-star a pleasure.
All-star fifth man.
Thank you.
Always a fan favorite, too. But I think before we get into news, we want to let John put on the editorial director hat for a moment and be more officious.
Well, not officious, but I do want to.
That actually is a
real
word.
That is a real word. Well done.
Garnet, one out of two. That's better than your jokes, Bat, normally. Let's be honest.
Wow, that was...
Excellent.
Doing better than yours this week.
So I don't want to belabor this point, but it's quite fitting that Mark's here as well, because he used to work on it, too. 2. It was your first job with us, right?
Oh,
PlayStation
yeah.
Magazine?
It was.
It's
I see where you're
image.
Going.
Yeah.
Before you go into that, did you see that ad?
Dude,
awesome.
I saw that ad of you.
That's not an ad.
And did you have, like, you had, like, because you had, like, your, you had braces and stuff.
I don't think we need to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you should check out Joe Rubicki's blog.
Oh, my God.
opmjoe.oneup.com. And there is a photo of Martin McDonald from 7 or 8 years ago.
1998.
Oh, wow. 1998,
yes.
And he is so happy.
Which Mark claims was a frame of photography that was caught between poses.
You look like you're posing pretty good.
It was a pose. It was definitely a pose. It was supposed to be funny. It ended up being funny.
It's actually still funny.
But not for the reason that it was supposed to be funny. It just comes off like I'm...
You've aged well.
I don't know how to describe it.
You age well, though.
Oh, thank you.
I mean...
No, it's amazing what a unflattering photo can do for you.
We like your head better now.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Anyway... Thank you for completely diminishing the gravitas of what I was about to say. But yeah, this week we announced that we were closing the official PlayStation Magazine. There were a lot of people blogged about it, and there's been a lot of stuff on the message boards about it. But a big part of the reason is no, we are not being bought by Microsoft. A lot of it came down to we spent a lot of time talking to Sony about where we were going with what we were doing, which is a lot more stuff with the shows that we're working on with Mark and with the podcasts and doing stuff with 1UP and game videos. And while we're doing that, they are thinking a lot about the way they're distributing demos and how they want to push content through the PS3 and the PSP as well. When the PSP3 firmware, which I think hits today or over the weekend or something, there's a lot more features on the PSP in terms of media downloads and the way it interfaces with PS3. And we were like, okay, so as we're going into this, let's stop doing the way that we deliver the disc and start talking to each other about how we can do things through the device. But unfortunately, it meant that we had to close the magazine, and the team are closing out the January issue, which will be out in December, and that's the last one. It's very sad.
It's been a total bummer this week.
It has been a real bummer. The magazine is over nine... It's been around for over 9 years, and it's done some great stuff.
And I personally think it's the best looking magazine in the fleet in terms of the art direction. Like, it was always my favorite.
And it did a lot of stuff. They experimented a lot. I think it was always the first magazine to sort of really experiment with how to treat covers and do things a little differently and not just use the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling the pinch personally as well. I ran that thing for 5 years, so
yeah.
It's sad to see something that you have a personal connection to go away. So. Anyway, stop by the OPM guys' blogs. They're gonna be around for the next week or so.
Radio OPM,
actually, you should check it out. The final episode has a lot of people on it telling stories from the past 9 years.
Mostly about that one picture, but...
yeah, Mark did get some shit on that. Yeah, was,
and more
well.
Booze than an episode of our show.
There was
for
a lot
sure.
of booze. And
nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Oh, it's a good thing.
So now the complete downer is out of the way. Let's move on to the news.
Well, I don't know if we're going to move away from the downer, because we're going to talk right about the PS3 launch. Yeah, that's right. I trolled. Analysts said this week that consumers are not fully aware of the PS3 price. That's a little dated now, because by now everyone has waited in line for one. And
they got to the front of the line. They went, "They want you won how much?"
Yeah, I read that story, and it killed me. I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the sort of discussion that can evolve from this story is that, are people that blind to the Sony brand that they're like, I'm just going to get me that new PlayStation 3 for $300 and it's going to be awesome?
What? $600?
$600? Like, is this what the consumer, are consumers this uneducated?
5 minutes after, true story, 5 minutes after I read that, I saw Karen looking at the Black Friday Best Buy ads, and it occurred to me how Microsoft with the TARD pack might actually be onto something, because I'm looking at the ad and it's got this big Xbox 360 and it says $299.99. I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's going to be a pretty good selling point.
We're going to talk more about that TARD pack later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that much of a surprise. I mean, Joe Public doesn't know what the price of anything is until, a lot of people won't even know until they see it in the store, see it in the Walmart.
Or when the guy is asking for your credit card and you're like, wait, what?
Right.
You
guys
really?
I mean,
Visa?
It's twice as much. I mean, it's not $99.99. But I mean, right now, PS3 is obviously getting way more press, way more attention than it... than it ever got at E3 when all that stuff was announced, when all the negative stuff came out, whatever. Now it's just PS3 is going to be out. Is your kid going to get one? Here's how much it is.
Well, and that's one thing that I want to talk about as sort of an offshoot of all of this is that the Wii is launching on Sunday, right? Sunday. That's when we're running over to Target.
Mm-hmm.
And it's launching on Sunday, but all everyone's talking about right now is the PS3.
Well, you know
is
why?
And that's what I want to say. Is it because I'm going to be able to go get a Wii? I'm not going to wait in line.
No, it's not that. It's the PlayStation is the brand story. Like, all of the press that we've done and all of the interviews and stuff, you see Shu and Sam and everyone talking to all these guys all over the place. And the question is, why is this such a big deal? And when you really drill into it, it's because PlayStation has meant something for 10 years. And to a lot of people out there, Nintendo doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's partly coming out 2 days ahead of time. If Wii was coming out, that would be like the story this week. But I think honestly, a lot of it is that few and that expensive, and for what they're going on eBay, that becomes the story. If there was a fifth as many Wiis, if it cost three times as much, you'd see a lot more ink on it.
Well, and the thing is, what they're going on eBay, the Japanese PS3 launch was last week, and we're going to talk about it a lot with Ryan Payton on our next show about the situation and the circumstances around the PS3 launch, and we won't spoil it now, but tune in for that. It'll be over the Thanksgiving holiday. But the PS3 auctions of the Japanese systems aren't doing as well as you would think. It's not gangbusters. It's not $9,100 like some of these.
Well,
you know,
it
PS3.
Was that. There's some evidence that it peaked, and then now it's getting oversaturated and the price is falling.
We haven't talked about this ahead of time. Are you going to, as news editor, are you going to be following the eBay auctions and kind of seeing what the PS3 marketplace is?
I mean, yeah, we would like to as soon as we can get down to Walgreens and buy a few more hours for the day.
Well, right now it seems like as of this recording, it seems like about $2,500. We have somebody watching them over in the video department. That's about the minimum that you're getting. And again, that's for a pre-order slip. So I would expect it to go up a little bit when people see actual pictures of the console.
I think you're going to see it go up, and you're going to see it decline by Friday of next week. I think that the way that the PS2 went, because I've told the story. I told the story for One Up Show. I don't know if they kept it in or not, but we ran a group, almost like a crime group, basically, in college when PS2 launched, where we, like, hired people to come to Best Buy to stand in line with us.
Wow.
Said we'll pay you a flat percent of our net profit. That was an admittedly small percent. And we ended up going home the next morning with, like, you know, in between 15 and 30 PS2s based on just hiring different girls from campus.
Dick.
And then sold them all on eBay as a collective, like, sold them individually on eBay as a collective, and then didn't work for the next year.
Wow!
Like there's a picture floating around. It's my best friend Jeff Dickerson and I did it. And there's a picture somewhere on the internet of our closet in college the morning we came home with PS2s, and it's just all PS2s.
Good God. Meanwhile, gamers.com was running a contest like gone in 60 seconds. It was like 60 PS3s or PS2s in 60 days. They couldn't, they were like scrambling, mad to get 60 of them.
Well, it's like 60 of them, like the dentist who just hired 60 people to camp for PS3s. Like he hired these people to camp in shifts so that he could buy PS3s to like circulate and sell. And you're like, dude, you're a dentist. I'm a college kid working at like a record exchange.
Yeah.
Which is a Midwestern record chain. Like,
a little
you're
more
a dentist.
Excusable, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay if I do it.
Maybe he's going to take him to Taiwan.
Yeah. We're Taiwan. How many do they get? 500? There's a Japanese guy or something who bought 100. He has 20% of the Taiwanese stake were he to go to Taiwan. I mean, that's ridiculous. And these stories aren't limited to just these small isolated incidents. I mean, like we saw in the Metreon line, there's a huge contingent of people. Like, Shane will say one thing, but like Shane has spent probably a fraction of the time that we've spent down there because they're on deadline and I have more free time than he does right now. But like
you do,
well,
we'll do something about that.
Yeah, did you want me to review GT Pro for you?
Sure.
And done.
I also have the new SpongeBob game, which you know.
The thing is, when prices get as high as they are going for on eBay,
it's an investment.
Even if, let's say, you started out in line, I want a PS3, I want to play Resistance. Then you come home, you see the eBay auction, it's $3,500. Hey, I can wait a month and a half to play Resistance. I can buy and then I'll buy an HDTV and a PS3.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's turning people into eBayers who are like, PS3 fans.
And then they're going to run into the stumbling block we talked about last segment, which are these like restrictions that eBay is putting on selling them.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't just get to create your eBay account and start selling
now,
PS3s.
Is that not just for the pre-orders? I thought that was just for the pre-order, not the actual unit.
I don't know if it's for the in-hand
I believe
version.
It's just if you're selling a PlayStation 3, here are the criteria you need to meet.
Hmm.
So to talk about something that isn't necessarily about getting a PS3, Phil Harrison was talking about user-created content this week for the PS3. And Phil Harrison's very excited about user-created content in that Linden Labs Second Life sort of way. He says that embedding the user creation tools into the game application and opening up to users is what he's really thrilled about. And he doesn't want you to think about this in terms of just designing maps for like an Unreal game, because that'd be too simple. He says all the tools that you could want, all the tools that you could want that aren't maps. He wants you to think about behaviors, environments, physics. Do you really...
Behaviors?
I don't know how you... Yeah, how do I code a behavior for a user?
How does the user be... Yeah.
How do Luke's own special brand of being a dick in a game is uploaded onto the PlayStation Network.
Luke not going after the guy with the oddball, just killing anyone at random becomes a standard game type in PlayStation games. Yes, I'm still pissed about that.
You're still pissed about that. Yes. I racked up like 70 kills that game. That was awesome. PS3, yes. Backwards compatibility, not perfect. Okay.
Shock it.
Yeah, shock and awe. But Jack Tretton had a great quote about it, and I'm going to butcher it a little bit, I think, because of memory. But it's he said something like, yeah, I wish my car would do my laundry and make breakfast for me. Like, Jack, are you married? Really? Those two things should be taken care of, right? You don't actually need the PS3 to do that
for
you.
Well, I just thought it was bad. Like, you know, of course, 360s... backwards compatibility, all messed up. But I just thought it was bad that
you didn't
think
they over delivered and under promised.
Well, exactly. Like every, you know, they actually mocked the 360's backward compatibility. They called them out. If they made such a deal of it, no, it's, you know, backwards compatible with our whole thing. And then they wait until the day that it launches in Japan to say, oh, you know what? That thing that we promised? Yeah, just one more thing. I'm guessing they knew about this a long time ago. They had such a downward spiral from E3, so much negative press that they're like, you know what? Let's not throw that one more Duraflame log onto the fire. Even if it's not such a huge, huge deal, in and of itself, I think, you know, they waited, and now it's like, who's talking about it? Everyone's talking about there's 6,000 people in line.
Maybe they're not worried about it because they're going to have it taken care of. I mean, we've seen the pictures of the machine blown apart. The motherboard has the exact same chipset.
There's an emotion engine on the board,
right? It's sitting right there. And someone actually...
Yes! It's back!
More emotional than ever.
Someone compared it.
Now more emo.
It's been a real emo episode today.
It has been.
I bet they'll be able to fix that ultimately, although they're going to have problems like with controllers
apparently
and not having ports and that
firmware
kind of
1.2 fixes some of it, yeah, which would be out, if it goes the same rate as the PSP, next week, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that brings up another question, which I hope you'll ask Phil tonight, is how often are they going to be releasing firmware updates for that PS3? Because PSP, I swear to God,
every time I turn the damn thing on.
Yeah, exactly. And like 12 updates go by.
And if you don't have, and then you need to plug this in to download the firmware. Like, it's a PlayStation Portable. Blow me. I don't need to plug it in to update shit. Let me play Grand Theft Auto, whatever the fuck. I hate that. I remember trying to play it on a plane flight to, probably when I was coming out here to interview for a job. I was like, oh, I'll play Grand Theft Auto on the way. Guess what? I won't, because I can't plug it in to update the fucking firmware.
Also, the battery wouldn't have lasted the whole flight if you were playing GTA.
Good job, Sony. Let's switch to Nintendo to talk about them real quick. They're launching a console this week. The Wii, 400,000 Wiis are hitting Japan on day one. Mark, is that enough?
Not nearly. And it's funny because apparently it's working for them because Ryan Payton, who, as you mentioned, we're going to talk to next week from Kojima Productions, was telling us he lives in Japan, and DS Lights are still hard to get. Like, you can't just walk out and know that you're going to wander into a Japanese equivalent of a Best Buy and find DS Lights there. You have to, you know, stake it out. You might be able to find it, but you got to plan it out. So it looks like Wii's might be that way there for the foreseeable future.
Is that by design for Nintendo as far as, like, creating an artificial, like we talked about with the PS3 a little bit earlier, we alluded to it, creating artificial demand by shortchanging supply? Is that why the DS Lite's so hot? Is it really that hard to produce?
I don't think they mind it. It does get them, like, some good press and, like, mind share among people that this thing is so hot it's hard to find. But, I mean, I think it's the same deal with the Wii, is that they're shoveling them all over here, and to maybe to a lesser extent to Europe, where they feel like they're more badly needed. I mean, I think it shows sort of paradoxically real confidence in their stake in Japan that they aren't selling many there.
Well, the stake for Nintendo is rising because their shares are at a record high before the Wii even launches. Reuters, which while I was in college, my parents made fun of me for calling it Reuters. Yeah, I have a great family. The Nintendo shares are at an all-time high over in Japan at 26,750 yen, which is a 3.2% increase over its previous high.
26,000, that's about 240 bucks or so.
Yeah, where's that put it in terms of like the U.S.? Like, where's the, like, how's the U.S. stock market doing? Does anyone have enough money where they invest?
That puts it really fucking high. I don't know, but I would say shares of Microsoft probably trade at like between $20 and $30 right now. That's a rough guess.
But it used to be a big deal to have Microsoft shares.
Well, and they also Microsoft.
You know what? You don't even want to go into stock analysis because it's a whole other strange thing.
Could we get Microsoft, Michael Pachter to talk about
Microsoft
it?
Used to be a growth stock. It's not a growth stock anymore. Now it's a long-term hold stock.
They also split stocks so that they don't get up that high. But anyway.
Different marketplaces. The Dow Jones is doing pretty well.
Stop.
Okay. Who's that guy who does, like, the money show? He talks, like, really over the top.
Oh, God.
I'm Chris Kramer, and this is real money.
that guy's annoying as hell, yeah.
Jim Cramer's real money.
Mad money.
So Nintendo has, I mean, aside from their sort of pedestrian non-Zelda launch lineup, we've been pretty favorable with Zelda this show. But one thing that Nintendo sort of is inexcusably fucking up, and I don't think that anyone's going to argue this, is the difficulty of acquiring component cables for your console.
Oh, God.
Is this 2000, what the fuck, when the GameCube launched? Why am I still having a hard time getting component cables for a console? What dimension am I living in? Is this the fourth dimension? What's the deal?
It's really sad. It's really sad. Even if obviously nobody's getting more than 480p. You just want it to look good in 480 on your TV.
I want those average Zelda textures to look as above average as they can.
It seriously makes a huge difference. I've seen it both ways.
And there's more benefit than just the resolution.
Right. Well,
separating the channels across the color, it definitely makes an improvement in the way the game displays.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure that Zelda looks better.
Have they made any kind of statement about this?
Let me go back to the page.
Well,
no, Nintendo's not talking about it.
Perrin Kaplan was interviewed saying that there will be component cables. I think Perrin Kaplan, who's what, VP?
She's the VP of marketing for Nintendo.
That there will be component cables. They went for sale online on Nintendo Store this week. They sold out incredibly quickly.
Like 8 seconds.
Like, hopefully that tells Nintendo something.
Everyone remembers what a complete fuck-up it was with the GameCube. They were impossible.
Well, so she says that she has said in an interview, I think with Game Informer Online, that they would be selling them in the biggest retailers. Best Buy, Circuit City, GameStop, I think, are the ones that she name-checked. So we'll see, though, because here it is. We're coming up on Friday, and I haven't heard anything about that. So,
and we have what? A pair? One?
Yeah.
We have one set in the
being passed around to the Zelda reviewers to make sure that they're getting to experience the game as good as humanly possible.
I've hand-delivered, driven across the city and back because of those damn cables, yeah.
It's absurd.
Well, we haven't talked about them at all because all they make is shooters, right? That was the big complaint about last week's show, that all we talked about were shooters and Microsoft games because they're buying us. I'm kidding. They're not. But Command & Conquer 3, I think, or Command & Conquer type, whatever it's called, CNC is coming to 360. We talked about this months ago, saying that, yeah,
absolutely
we thought that Battle for Middle Earth was the testing ground for the 360. So it is, EA confirmed that it's coming out today. I'm sure that Chip Long will make some cheats available for you for Command & Conquer when it ships sometime in 2007.
New one. Did you see that?
No.
Whatever they're tearing him isn't quite enough. If it's not bleeding, anal fissures, Chip's not in enough pain.
Give me some background. What happened?
Well, Chip Long is the guy who's been continuously defending. He's one of the EA. What is he, Garnet? VP of something
online
or other.
Online commerce or something.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think that's correct.
I think you're right. He's one of the geniuses behind selling cheats as microtransactions. So he's been defending that.
We don't even need to go down that road. He's wrong. We all know he's wrong. It's not even worth talking about. He's out there on his own zone.
So how many points is $100? Does anyone know the conversion off the top of their head?
But
you can get you might be able to get an Xbox 360 core pack for $100 on Amazon.com.
Going
to
be 1,000 of them.
Yeah, there's going to be 1,000 available. And I think that if in the way they're setting it up right now is you have to vote for like one of four deals.
The vote's done.
And it is.
Yeah, the vote's done. The vote's done. The core pack won.
I'm probably going to try and buy one for $100. Like, why would you, like, really, $100? When the new hard drive comes out next year, you just slap that in there?
I don't understand how this works.
Yeah, what's going on?
There's a deal on Amazon.com where they're selling 1,000 Xbox 360 core packs for $100.
Amazon has this crazy thing where they let people vote for, like, what they want a wild deal on. And whichever thing wins the wild deal, then they set aside a certain number and they sell it at that price.
Who the fuck is out there voting for the core pack?
No, that was it. That was it. No, they offer you
like,
choices.
There's like five things. One of them is like a Huffy bike. One of them is like a unicorn alarm clock or something. It's just like the other things.
Yeah,
are
it
like,
wasn't like a different configurations of Xbox. And, we'll get the shitty one for $100 instead of like, the really good one.
Yeah, let's see.
I'd like less for less, not more for less.
That's the PS3 argument, right? That's what Shane. Why would you turn down additional functionality?
Exactly. So is this sale gone on? Is it over?
It hasn't gone on yet. When does it start next week?
Thursday at 11 a.m.
And then it's going to end at 11 a.m. 0.01
Yeah,
seconds.
I'll be.
So it's going to be really quick.
Refresh.
But once you go through and answer their like anti-fraud question to keep people from duplicating it, then you don't have to rush to the checkout. So once you get your code number, you're golden.
So this is Amazon doing. There was a site that was built on this idea, right? There was some retail site that didn't last very long where it was like this kind of thing every day. So
sounds like a .com,
yeah.
.bomb
Hey,
idea.
We'll just buy things in bulk and get people to vote on the price, and then you all pile on, and that'll be a way to get traffic, and we'll do it that way. But I don't think it lasted very long. So
surprise.
Well, it's worth a try. $100 for a core, that's pretty good.
It's worth a try,
well,
definitely.
Well, and that's the thing that, what was his name? Albert, when Albert came by a few months ago, Garnet, that was what he talked about, getting the core pack into that $150 to $100 price point. That's where Microsoft wants to see that core pack eventually. This is kind of neat to see it that low. 360 some days
after
launch.
We don't have it on our news, but I noticed, and I think the original source was Ars Technica, but if I'm wrong, someone will know where it was. But the report now is that the Xbox hardware is now in a place where Microsoft makes money off of it, because the component costs have dropped under the price point to where they're making, I think the number was 60 or $70 a unit.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Could be, I
the
guess
big difference
be
was
true.
The motherboard. I think they said the motherboard price had dropped significantly on the Microsoft part.
And the graphics processors have moved twice since the 360 launch. So, I mean, they're pretty old-gen comparison now.
Of course, their chip is custom versus RSX.
But weren't they losing money on original Xboxes, like, right up to the end of that life cycle? I'd be surprised.
Well, the last thing to talk about is Bungie announced this week, in conjunction with the five-year anniversary of Halo, three little announcements in a screenshot. New Halo 2 maps coming this fall, exclusive to the Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel, exactly. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a Halo 3 television commercial, which is going to be sort of like a stylized, real-life CG
thing. Yeah, it's got real actors in it, right?
Well, they would not confirm that, but I'm wondering if who's that director that...
That's the thing, and I was trying to get him to talk about that, and what we're talking about is
a way of strong-arming the director choice through?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what we asked him, and on Wednesday of next week, we're going to put up a special podcast that's sort of an EGM Live, Bungie, One Up Yours production that'll appear in all the RSS feeds, and it's Mark McDonald from Game Videos, Shu from EGM, me and Frank O'Connor and Brian Gerard from Bungie, just sitting around talking about Halo, the game industry.
It's an orgy of Halo.
And it's been a nightmare for Skip to edit, but I promise you that it will absolutely be worth it. And there's some new stuff that we haven't really talked a lot about that's going to be on that show. So, I mean, definitely check it out. It'll be in your iTunes feeds.
But to explain
week.
What we're talking about, the director that they had announced
Neil
for the Halo
Blomkamp.
Movie. There you go. I knew you'd know his name. What he had done was a series of these kind of promotional things. I don't think they were really commercials, but it was a mixture of CG and real-world stuff that looked just really cool, amazing.
The robot in the desert was
exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So you could very much imagine it being maybe in that kind of vein.
Well, and there's a lot of political background in that the pushback from the studios on Peter Jackson was that they didn't want to entrust a $120 million budget to some guy that had never done anything like on that kind of scale. Jackson threw a hissy fit and said, okay, we're not doing it, and Microsoft backed them up on it. So maybe they do a commercial that gets a lot of press, and hey, this is the guy we wanted to do the movie. It's good, isn't it?
They would not confirm who was directing the commercial, but they said that they had a director for it, but that it was no one that you'd heard of, like as far as a Spike Jonze type director.
Oh, I would hope
the
not.
Last bit of announcement.
Can you imagine?
Spike Jonze doing a Halo commercial. I love Spike Jonze, but I don't want him anywhere near Master Chief at that time.
Tarantino doing Halo?
God. Jesus, Master Chief would have a blonde wig. Christ. The last thing, the biggest thing, definitely, is the Halo 3 multiplayer beta next spring. But there's all kinds of questions on it, and they were so evasive, and they have to be because they don't have anything locked down.
Yeah, yeah.
But how will this be distributed? That's my question. We talked about a survey that came out a week ago where one of the questions on the survey, good job, Microsoft, way to be subtle. God, would you be willing to pay incrementally for a beta? Like, how much would you be willing to pay, Mark? Because you love Halo.
So actually, there is some context to this. There was, I can't remember who it was. Someone had posted on the message board that if you are on the Windows Vista beta, there is an opportunity to beta test the new version of Microsoft Office designed for Vista, but you have to pay for that. So it happens elsewhere within the Microsoft universe that once you're on the track with them and you're testing their stuff,
right,
if you want to test the really cool stuff, they bill you for it.
How much would you pay?
I don't even know if I want to answer that question because
how much would you pay?
A lot. I would pay a lot. I mean,
would you pay the equivalent of what you pay annually? Would you pay that $5 a month to play Halo 3 multiplayer?
Happily? There's a big gulf between what I would pay and what I would happily pay.
What would you pay and what would you happily pay?
I mean, I would pay quite a bit because I could expense it for one thing.
Jesus.
For one thing.
Okay, what if you couldn't?
If I couldn't expense it for work.
And we're on other sides of the fence. I would not pay to beta test, period.
Wow, I would pay.
No, wait. So a game that you are really...
What's your favorite series?
Like your favorite game of all time.
Period.
You wouldn't pay $20 to be able to play the multiplayer a year early. Come on.
You would. You're seeing message boards of everyone else talking about that they are playing it.
If you could beta test Half-Life 3, would you pay for it? Of course you would.
Garnet called out, confirmed.
I'm not answering because there's no way I can say no and you guys won't shoot it down. But I will tell you that my gut response is no, I wouldn't pay to beta test.
Well, here's the thing, too.
There are as many good games that are finished to play and beta testing is a fucking nightmare. I've beta tested hundreds of games. It's a beta test.
Didn't they tell us that the beta test will be pretty polished?
Yeah, they said it would definitely look better than what we saw.
See,
as well.
if the beta
test is not going to be like the pre-alpha shit that we played. It's going to be
then. It's not a beta test because a beta test is a very specific thing.
Well, I think that the way people should ultimately think of it, however it's distributed, whether it comes on disc, whether it comes as a pack-in, whether it comes as a hardware-related pack-in, a digital download, it'll be a combination or it'll be one of those things, guaranteed.
I have a hunch I know how it's going to be done.
Let me tell you this way. If it's a release candidate balancing sort of test, not a beta test, but a stress test.
There'll be a stress test on servers.
If it's like a release candidate balancing stress test sort of thing, yes, I would pay something if that's something then applied towards the purchase of the final game.
Well, I don't know that it needs to be applied toward the final purchase of the game, but what it should do is it should give you a leg up when it comes time to get that downloadable content.
Fine.
And if I pay to beta test your game, when that first batch of downloadable content comes
out,
I should have a credit. I should have a special thing next to my gamer tag, a little asterisk that notes that when that first DLC comes out, I get it, period. It's mine. Go me.
So next week, the first stuff through live is going to be put out where you download it and then it disappears after a period of time.
Right, the movies.
Yeah. The movie content.
I'm fairly certain that if this isn't distributed with a game, which is definitely a possibility the way that the Metal Gear demo was done in the past, if it's a digital download, I bet it's you stump up the Microsoft points, you get it, and after a period of time, it's gone.
Because while it's gone, all you'll want to do
is play it.
Is play that game again. That's going to drive me crazy.
So next week, along with the holiday, we are actually going to have a show ready for you guys. Skip will be back in Wisconsin visiting family, but we are going to put together a show. We already have one segment already done because we had Ryan Payton in the house, and he showed us Metal Gear Portable Ops, and we also talked about the difference between journalism here and in Japan. Very interesting segment. I think you guys will like that a lot. One of the other parts we'd like to get into is you guys will have new consoles. We want to know about your experiences. We want to be able to relate some of your experiences, talk about what, you've heard the journalists talk about the Wii, the PS3, all the games. You tell us what you think. You've had them in your hands. Do that at boards.oneup.com. We'll bring that back to you next week. And until then, we're gone.